Hello, everyone, and welcome to Session 8 of Star Trek Baja, a Star Trek Adventures actual play using the rules by Modiphius Entertainment, and we're doing it in a Lower Decks theme. My name is ELH, the Game Master, and joining me are three lovely individuals who we'll meet right now, starting with Matthew. Matthew, anything you'd like to shout out, and who you playing today?
Hello, everyone. No, I have absolutely nothing to shout out because I have no real online presence whatsoever other than these games. I am playing the character Shas Jathane, an Andorian helmsman who is notorious for slacking off.
Very nice. Techno, anything you'd like to shout out, and who are you playing?
Hi, everyone. I very much am online, and I have given up Twitter, so you can now find me on Blue Sky or on Tumblr. I am playing the Klingon science slash medical officer, or lower officer anyway, Ensign, Mechbeth.
All right. And last but not least, Bean, same questions.
Hello, I'm Bean. You can find me where goblins are. Pleasure to meet you. I'm playing Marquess Bolin. Yes, I'm a troll. I was going to say a scientist,
but
I'm an engineer.
The underbridge is in caves. Yeah.
All right. Very nice. Well, with that, let's get our intro going, then we'll get started proper.
Bye-bye.
And welcome back. So something I like doing for all my Star Trek Adventures games is I have the players doing opening log, and I believe Mechbeth, you have that honor today. So please take it away.
Thank you. Ensign Mechbeth, personal log, year 100. Computer, delete entry and restart recording. Ensign Mechbeth, personal log, Stardate 58039.5. I am unsure whom Sash has angered within the computer sciences archival team, but I have been instructed to standardize my personal log entries with Federation stardates rather than utilizing the Klingon calendar, as I have done since my enrollment into Starfleet. Despite the computer being able to clearly and concisely reconcile the two dates, and there being no appreciable impact on the archive of said logs, I am finding the transition to be vexing. Ordinarily, I would adapt more quickly to such a change. It is far from the largest or only adjustment I've had to make in my life since joining Starfleet, but I have been using the calendar of my people for my entire life. It's the last familiar link to my home where I no longer feel welcome. Perhaps the feud that has led to this requirement is actually something of a sorboch. And no, to any of the archival staff who may be illegally reviewing this personal log, I will not refrain from utilizing Klingon expressions that the translation matrix struggles with. But enough of such matters. I would not allow such bureaucratic nonsense to hinder my recording of thoughts surrounding the Baja's current circumstances. Circumstances in which I have a keen interest. We have recently encountered a Class 6 neutronic storm, large enough that going around it would be an unacceptable delay to our current mission. While such storms no longer pose quite the threat to a starship that may have been the case a century or more ago, the heavy concentrations of radiolytic isotopes remain harmful to most species who are not seeking shelter within specially shielded areas of the ship. And unpredictable plasma eddies may still cause significant damage if the ship is unfortunate enough to be struck. While I would have preferred remaining at a science station to better catalogue and observe the effects of the storm, I, along with many of the lower decks personnel, have been forced to abandon our bunks in favor of cramped cots within Cargo Bay 3. As such, I must rely on my datapad and its low-priority link to the ship's sensors for data analysis. Not ideal, but certainly better than having no data at all. I will continue to monitor storm activity and collate any meaningful data for submission of a report once we have cleared the immediate danger. Addendum. Since space within the cargo bay is limited, I was unable to bring many personal effects from my bunk, including my bonsai tree. However, Marquise assisted me in jury-rigging a Mark 9 tricorder to emit a low-strength status field within the confines of my bunk locker. While I am confident in our abilities to program such a device, I still fear it may fail before we are scheduled to leave the storm. And I also have my own worries that Marquise will play some ill-conceived prank upon me. They would be wise not to do so. End log.
All right, very nice. You may have a momentum for that opening log. So we start with an exterior shot of the ship where this sort of purplish storm cloud slash nebula is approaching very rapidly towards the Baja. And we sort of zoom in through the hull of the Baja to Cargo Bay 3, where, as described, a lot of the Lower Decks people have been moved to. And you all, you three in particular, have been given your own sort of like little square area of Cargo Bay 3. So you're getting a little bit more room than usual, but it's still kind of cramped. And unfortunately, it's not just the three of you in this little alpha section. You've also been given another ensign, Ensign Bob. And there's a reason for that name, but Ensign Bob looks like your standard human, maybe about 5'8", with short black hair, very pristine looking cut of the hair, very pristine uniform. And he hasn't really said much to any of you quite yet, but as the neutronic storm finally starts to encroach upon the ship, there's kind of an all hands chime and you hear the captain speak. "This is the captain. We are entering the neutronic storm in the next few minutes. All hands prepare for storm weather fronts and unforeseen circumstances. Please report any abnormalities to the bridge or your duty station officer as soon as possible. Bridge out." And then not moments later, the ship does rock a little bit. And the inertial dampeners compensate enough that you're not like thrown out of your bunk or thrown off your step if you're walking around. But for anyone who's been on a ship in real life, when you're just sort of just out in a lake or out at sea, there is still that subtle rocking that might start getting to you. But I leave it to your discretion how much it affects your character. But for the moment, you are in Cargo Bay 3. There's a lot of other Lower Decks around you, and you, of course, have Bob to work with if you ever want to rope him in as well. But I'll think we'll start there.
I'd like to think that Marquess, because especially since all of the prep work to go into the storm, is tireder, drained, and her messy hair is even more messier than normal. And she's just like flopped, not in the hammock, but the box next to the hammock, just like...
And Shas, just completely ignoring her, is sitting off to the side. He's actually like on the ground with his feet kicked up on the wall. So he's like sitting against the wall with his feet up there, knees bent, and he is just playing with a data pad. It's not quite clear what he's doing, but he's poking away at it rapidly.
And Macbeth is going to reach into a small med kit that he's got with him. Marquise, I have an analgesic here that will assist you if you desire it.
5 more minutes.
That was not the response that was intended.
Thank you.
Also not. It's either yes or no.
Yes.
Very well. And presses the hyperspray to Marquis' neck and a little bit of analgesic into his system.
Shesh just puts down the data pad for a second and he reaches back, undoes the tie for his ponytail and looks over at you. Why bother? I mean, we're stuck down here for the next couple hours at least. Just take a nap.
You know, when I take a nap in this situation, one of the bolt heads starts whispering that it's about to break.
Then maybe you should take a sedative.
I don't have anything that would possibly help with that. Except perhaps counseling.
Bulkhead 33A2 is going to break today.
Oh, look at that. I have a complication. Bulkhead 33A2, which happens to be the interior bulkhead for part of the part of Cargo Bay 3. It does rupture and pop off the wall, but it's over in beta section. So that's beta section's problem, not yours.
That was sooner than expected. That's fine.
It was also incredibly unnerving.
Have you ever thought about channeling this power for good?
This is a power of perception, not the power of manipulating the universe.
Are you sure about that? Q really seemed to like you, and you know how they are.
Look, if he is giving me the power of super hearing so I can hear the bulkheads whispering, I wish he would not right now.
Oh, I thought you were talking about like some kind of weird reality warping prognostication where you could foretell the future and then make it come to pass.
Tell me what number is on
that
this
would
data
be silly.
Pad.
It's 3.
Is it three?
Let's find out. It was not.
See?
That's anyway. Actually a relief.
I agree. I do not relish the idea of Marquise being able to affect anything with the power of their mind.
I mean, Starfleet officers become psychic all the time, right? And then turn into like an energy being or something.
Typically only once they reach lieutenant rank or higher.
Oh, okay.
All the more reason not to want a promotion.
I'll have to wait until lieutenant rank until I get the super powers or something.
Technically, though, since you're an engineer, couldn't you kill us with your mind? Just, like, applying it practically?
Do you really want to continue this line?
I have to apply my mind practically to ensure that none of you die on a daily basis. The hull is literally the only thing that is keeping us from internal death. So if I wanted to do that, I would just stop working.
I'm sure somebody would pick up the slack, I mean. You're not that important.
Deck 7 would say otherwise.
That's a really creepy laugh you got there. Thanks, buddy.
Okay. Well, I haven't heard from anyone in Deck 7 in a while, actually. I feel like we should check on that.
And Ensign Bob actually kind of clears his throat and goes, actually, that's because Deck 7's an aquatic deck. They don't really talk to anyone outside of
it. Yeah, and imagine if, like, the bulkheads ruptured on that deck. Deck 8 would get very wet very quickly.
You worry me.
I am in tired mode. My brain is only thinking about mechanical problems at the moment. Come back to me when we have this neutrino storm and I've thought of a prank.
I will not come back to you for a prank. I have suffered more than enough of them in the last few weeks.
Look, I think you'd really just need to relax. There's nothing that we can do in here. We're just stuck. Just
why do you think I'm on top of the box? The box is my friend. I pat the box.
The box is an inanimate object incapable of actually expressing friendship.
He supports my weight in this trying time.
I guess that is one definition of friend.
And it looks like Bob...
There's no punchline there. It's just a reflection, I suppose. Yeah.
And Bob actually looks like he was going to say something, but then he kind of lowers his hand and looks away as if the moment has passed.
So why was it that you were assigned to our group, Bob? Was this just like luck of the draw or...
I mean, if I'm being honest, I think it's because the XO wants some of you three to rub off on me, or maybe vice versa. I don't know.
Don't worry, Bob. You'll learn about finagling until you succeed from us. I believe in you.
That is not the lesson that we will teach. At least not intentionally.
We get into sticky situations and we still work it out in the end.
I don't think relying on pure blind luck is a lesson that Starfleet wants to teach its officers.
I said stumbling. I didn't say luck.
No, but that's the only reason we ever succeeded anything, right?
No, I believe in you. You're a good friend. And even if you don't believe in yourself, you have a lot of skills and stuff.
My God, he's delusional.
This is getting really awkward.
These symptoms are very interesting.
Like the time you fly through a literal firefight and helped me dive bomb a warp core into an enemy ship.
That was very impressive.
I'm a good pilot. I'll give you that. Fine. That is the extent of my skills.
How you would be able to talk to an extra plane you're being.
Apparently a car drives by.
Oh, look. Bulkhead 24. Shut up.
I did not realize the holodecks were still in use.
That's what happens when Bulkhead 24 plays up the Isolinia chip's crosswire, and it doesn't do a full hologram procedure, but it does play the audio from the last hologram.
How very interesting.
Lieutenant Janice does really like this sports car from the 21st century on Earth.
Why?
Anyway.
Their engines were so inefficient. They're burning gasoline, for goodness sake.
A lot of species burn gasoline roughly at that period of their development.
Well, yeah, well, you might as well say, well, why don't you like get a horse and cart and start become fascinated by them? Right? It's antiquated.
People like, anyway, what I was saying is that you have plenty of skills, like talking to an extraplanial being of how it's better to be a human rather than becoming an extraplanial being.
You are the one who just had a friendship established with Q, right? You know that.
Yeah, I've been talking about you, though.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, clearly my skills with respect to interacting with interplanar beings, nothing compared to yours.
Yeah, but like, how do you think I learned how to talk to interplanar beards?
I believe it may be time to offer you a sedative.
Okay.
Clearly, you need to sleep.
Thank you.
If somebody wants to do another complication, so I'm drugged for this episode.
Don't give them ideas, they'll do it. But as this exchange is going, Bob doesn't say anything, but the expression on his face goes from not quite stoicness, it's kind of like a neutral expression, but it's almost like his face is getting more and more somber, I think is a good word to use here, where he's not sad, he's like wistful in a way, if that makes sense.
So
go ahead.
I think we said so at the same time. So do we have to play rock, paper, scissors to determine who goes first?
Yeah, I think we both look at each other in that moment of awkward silence that ensues after we've spoken over each other. And then Shaz just sort of extends a hand, raises a brow, looks down at it, looks up at you.
I extend my hand as well.
Well, we all know how this works. Go ahead and tell me what you both want to throw, because that's how it works. Oh, man, between 8-ball and this, I think we have some good things here. All right. Okay. All right. So, Bolin, Thane, you both throw, and luck of the draw, it looks like that Thane's scissors gets beaten by Bolin's rock.
Ha! I'm victorious. Anyway, have you had any, like, adventures aboard this ship? Any daring do's?
No, actually. I've been on the ship for almost a full year, and this is the first time I've been given any sort of duty assignment that wasn't cleaning APS conduits, or the holodeck, or tending to needs in sick bay or the botany lab. I've never been on an away mission.
Am I correct in saying your assignment here is to sit with us?
Yes. At least, I mean, that's, you know, what the commander said anyway.
Hmm.
I mean, maybe Moore's, Commander Moore's hoping that I'll want to go on more away missions, or maybe that you'll teach me something that makes me more valuable, and you kind of can tell he's like building up to say something, and eventually he just sort of sighs and says, look, I'm kind of the person that everybody ignores. Like, I'm there, but they forget about me or they ignore me. And sure, that's fun for the first couple weeks when you can do anything you want and get away with it, but I mean, after a few months, you're just sort of hoping that somebody will notice you and give you something to do, something valuable that helps.
Well, maybe you need to do the first step rather than just hoping for it.
Yeah, I mean, you got to put yourself out there, do something meaningful, catch people's attention, force them to pay attention to you. Not like in a bad way, but
murder someone that has caused you dishonor.
First time, just like rustle over my head and just like look at Ensign Bob. What color shirt does he have?
He's a blue shirt.
Are you a doctor or a scientist?
Xenobotanist, actually.
Xenobotanist, okay. Okay. Well, you need to, like, first off, demonstrate that you have the skills necessary to go on an away mission and put yourself out onto the duty roster for it. I mean, xenobiology is not exactly the easiest one around to do the ship, but there's always we could always make a holodeck program to random generate scenarios for you to train through.
Ironically, I am already doing that. Like every
No.
time there's a big mission, or everybody gets to go down to the planet or the starbase or whatever, I'm kind of in the holodeck, living out vicarious fantasies that someone will actually give a shit about me.
I mean, there must be some people who care about you, even if you're like your superior officers don't. You've got like family or something.
And at this point, he actually motions at his eyes, and Macbeth, you would know immediately looking at his eyes that he's not actually human. He has cameloid yellow eyes. For those who need a reminder, cameloid being Martha's species from Undiscovered Country.
And they're shapeshifters?
Yep, shapeshifters that have to keep their eyes and have to stay humanoid.
Interesting. So is this persona of Bob an accurate one?
I mean, this is what I sort of agreed to when I joined Starfleet, that if I was going to be on a Starfleet vessel, I had to pick one form and stick with it. But now I'm kind of wondering if maybe I picked the wrong one. I mean, yeah, I mean you, for example, Shaz, I mean, Commander Moore talks like you're like the second coming of Riker.
He does?
Oh, he was a bit of a womanizer. I don't like that comparison, but okay. I'll take
Well,
that as a compliment, I guess.
not in the womanizing way, and like in like the level of command and the level of gravitas that you command.
Well, I do like the fact that he spent like 20 years as a first officer. That was a good career choice on his
I
part.
mean, maybe, but that is like your way of getting around your family's want to become a captain. I just prefer being a first officer. Oh no, it's just out of grasp. I'm never going to reach it.
I mean, they would really hate that I got so close and then just kind of gave up. It's not a bad idea. But we're talking about Bob and Bob's problems right
Yes.
now with,
Okay. All right. You
right.
need. What like besides for your like role in the ship skills do you have?
Well, I mean, I'm good at maintenance. I'm good at tending to bonsai trees, which, by the way, Macbeth, on the way here, I saw that your phaser arrangement wasn't going to work, so I adjusted it, and it should be fine. As long as there's no hull breaches in that section of the ship, your bonsai tree should be fine.
Curious. By was not working or was not going to work, do you mean the setup was flawed or that perhaps someone shoots a glance at Marquise may have tampered with it?
More that there wasn't adequate power supply to last through the entire storm. I just kind of added a few extra power packs.
I had a feeling that may be the case, but I could not scrounge them up in time. You have my thanks.
No, you're welcome. Can I ask a
I would
personal question
never.
real quick, Macbeth?
Very well.
Why are you in Starfleet? I mean, don't get me wrong, I'm trying to say this in a nice way, but you're Klingon, and the only other Klingon I know in Starfleet that loves what they do is Worf, and that's because he gets to fight with blue barrels all the time.
There's an entire manual on safety protocols because of that incident. It's funny.
And several on medical ethics as well. But to answer your question, it is a long and complicated story, and you are not Klingon. You would not understand most of it.
And for the first time, Bob actually kind of smirks, and before your very eyes, he becomes a Klingon.
Somebody finally got to you. You're going to have to tell it now because he's Klingon and he would understand.
Appearing Klingon does not make one Klingon. You must
Oh.
have the warrior's heart.
I mean,
And
we
I
need to
have.
go.
That's what we need to do, I bolt up. We need to get the warrior's heart.
I am loving the enthusiasm. I am unsure where you're going with this.
Right, right. So, Bob is not getting the attention and stuff, but like, what if we got his sense of adventure? He's never going to go on adventure if he's just vicariously delivering it through the holodeck. That's got safety protocols and other such things. We need to get his warrior's heart and not necessarily walk around the ship as a Klingon, because I don't know if you'll get in trouble.
I suspect that you would. Yes. But, however, Marquise is correct. We must show the commander that you have fire in your eyes and a willingness to do what others will not. To take the beating heart of your enemy and consume it in front of them. Metaphorically speaking.
Bob turns back into his human form and goes, I don't know about eating a heart in front of Commander Moore, but I mean, I like the general idea of this.
Yes, let's go replicate a heart.
Again, I said metaphorically speaking.
Okay.
How does that translate into a like literal meaning? What does that, where's the correlation for a botanist?
We need to claim victory.
But botany.
He's a xenobiologist. I didn't think he was a botanist. I don't know.
No, it's xenobotanist.
Oh, right. Yeah. I heard xenobiology. Right. Okay.
One of the side effects of this drug that I gave you was poor auditory responses. I should keep track of that.
Okay. Thanks for mentioning that.
So it's like eating a heart comparable to creating some kind of new hybrid flower?
Defeating the human-eating Venus flytrap.
I do not believe there is a human-eating Venus flytrap.
Yet.
Well, you could make one and then defeat it.
I am unsure if creating your own problem and solving it is necessarily the best way forward.
Well, it worked for Wesley Crusher with those nanites, right?
It's also worked several times for us, but I'm trying to gloss over that particular fact.
And it's at this point in the conversation where the ship rocks again and the lights begin flickering. Life support stays on, but the lights start flickering. And across the cargo bay, there's kind of murmurs and maybe a little bit of gasping and a few people not so happy with the fact that lights might be going out here very shortly. But the rocking happens another time and then all the lights go out. Now, some of the people in the cargo bay have already prepared for this eventuality. They've brought lanterns or flashlights or something that they can use to see around. Bob, at least on his part, now you all can have your own thing as well. Bob has brought this little like candle-like device that sort of flickers in the way a candle would.
I get out these like big glow sticks, snap them, and put them around my arms.
The Klingons have like the equivalent of dark sight. I feel like they would.
I feel like they would have at least some dark vision, yeah.
So I feel like Macbeth doesn't do anything. He's just like, oh,
I think
okay.
Like low light vision because of all of that red and darkness on Klingon ships.
Right? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes. Shash is utterly unprepared for this.
Nice.
Marquez?
I got glow sticks for you.
You're a good friend. Thank you. It's like supporting friends when they need help, that whole thing, like your box.
Yes.
You've learned good lessons from the box.
The box is my friend and it has taught me much.
She takes one of his glow sticks, cracks it, puts it next to him.
You too can have a glow stick. And you too, Bob. I brought Pentley. I like have this inside the box. There's just like this entire container of like glow sticks. Just glow sticks.
Were you planning on throwing a rave?
No.
I do not believe you.
I don't either.
Should we be concerned about the fact that the lights have gone out, Marquez?
This is the question I was about to ask, and I don't want to ask Marquez, but I feel it might be the best way forward.
I mean, I can't answer that question. Obviously, you can't answer that question. And Bob, no offense to you, you're a xenobotanist. I don't know if you have insight into the intricacies of engineering here.
Well, not Bob unless it involves maintenance.
Well, sometimes knowing about maintenance is how to get to the root of the problem. So, Bob, I stand on the crate and point at him. Let's go find the root of the situation. And since you're a botanist, finding the root of stuff will be easy for you.
I did wonder if that was a pun, but I didn't want to encourage you.
No encouragement needed. I'm doing it that way.
Yes, I have noticed.
All right. Well, yeah, Bolin, if you want to give me an insight engineering, and I'll roll an assist for Bob. Bob actually has a decent score, all things considered, even though he downplays it. Well, he's rolled an assist, and the difficulty is only a one, so as long as you roll at least one success here, you get momentum.
Can I make it a present engineering? Because what I'm trying to do is get Bob, even though he's assisting me, my whole thing is to try and get Bob to do it.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah, presence engineering, sure, go for it.
And I know my ship.
I'll give it to you.
And EPS power systems
would apply. I'd also give you etiquette in this instance.
Okay. Go.
Wow. All right. So that's a grand total of four successes, meaning you are now at three momentum from the roll, which means four total momentum, if I have that math right. And yeah, it's one of those things where Bolin, you're doing your best to lead and guide, but you and Bob arrive at the same conclusions as you're looking at your tricorders. The EPS conduit that feeds into Cargo Bay 3 has been ruptured because of an increase in pressure from cetacean Cargo Bay 1. Which is kind of above you in terms of deckage. So apparently there's a pressure problem in Cargo Bay or Aquatic Cargo Bay 1, where some of the cetacean officers are currently located.
I go to tap my comm badge and then look at Bob. Hey, Bob, would you like to contact Cargo Bay 1, this location 1, and ask if there's a problem with their pressure valve in junction 23, so that because it is causing outages in Cargo Bay 3.
Yeah, I can do that. Cetacean Bay 1, come in, Cetacean Bay 1. Anyone? Taps it a few times. Hello? Well, either internal comms are down or they're not answering.
I want to do a quick check to see if I'll turn it. Actually, no, I'll spend a momentum. Is internal comms working?
Internal comms is working.
Internal comms is working. I think this might have to elevate to a higher member of the team, but what I think we should do is go check on it.
Wait a second. Do you think this is my moment? Is this my moment where I do the thing and the command staff notice me?
I believe in you. Let's go. Come on, everyone. I start dragging everyone along. I just throw a toolkit at beta shift and go, EPS is EPS conduit's breaking because of pressure from above. We're going to go check the problem.
Whoa. That's not our responsibility. We should report this to the command crew or the designated sector chief and let them handle it or assign it to us. And then we handle it if it's our actual job.
Right, how else are we gonna? How else are we gonna take the enemy by the heart?
I am wary that I am agreeing with Shass on this problem, but yes, I believe we should be informing our superiors.
I mean, Bob can still do that.
Okay.
Hold on.
Perhaps Bob, you could volunteer to fix the problem.
I like that idea. I like that idea. Hold on.
Two targs with one heart, so to speak.
I feel like that would be a very poor targ because it would be sharing. Yeah, anyway, getting in the weeds. Hello.
Feast on the heart. Yeah.
John this is Ensign Bob to the bridge. Hello, bridge. And after a moment, there's a very tired sounding Commander Moore, the Tellarite, and he says,
"Yes, Ensign, what seems to be the issue?"
Well, we've noticed a pressure problem in Cetacean Bay 1, and they haven't been replying to hails. I was going to go investigate and repair any problems. Just letting you know that there's a problem.
I'm not seeing any issues here on the bridge. Are you quite sure that there's an issue?
I just point at the tricorder where the issue is, like on the, you know, where we picked it up.
So he knows. Yeah, there's a junction 20. I mean, it's caused a power outage briefly here in Cargo Bay 3. Should I go investigate, sir?
Well, yes. That's you know what? Good work. I can see those three are already rubbing off on you. Take them with you.
Okay. Bob out. And then Bob looks to the three of you. Well, heard him. Yay, I'm doing something.
Okay. So either we can just get masks so we can breathe under there, or we can go full suits. The reason full suits, even though it takes longer, is because if there's pressure problems, we may need the protection. However, we may need speed. So, Bob, what do you think?
And he kind of looks at Macbeth as if soliciting his medical backup here. I mean, if we're in a neutronic storm, I mean, most of the hallways are shielded, but some of the ones may not be. So an EV suit would offer us more protection.
And Macbeth is just nodding along, just like, yes, very good.
Okay.
Continue.
So environmental suits, and then he looks at Chaz. If I remember correctly, the nearest juncture where there are environmental suits is the shuttle bay.
I mean, I think that checks out. I don't have the schematics of the ship memorized, but sure.
Okay. So we'd
have
to go.
Don't have the schematics of the ship memorized?
He does. He just doesn't want to admit it.
Ah.
Okay. Though, if I remember my own memorization of ship schematics, the shuttle bay isn't shielded. So that seems like a design flaw, by the way. But
I am also unclear on exactly which sections of the ship require shielding and which don't. It's very confusing.
I mean, we could always look around in the storage, which has been moved into the auxiliary rooms, to see if there's any sort of equipment we can use there.
Or we could divert power to one of the emergency transporters and beam some of the suits in here.
That depends on whether or not you want Marquise in charge of a transporter again.
I mean, I think we got the worst of it out of the way, right?
No, I don't trust that.
The Triborgs, you can't. What's going to be next? Like,
don't
be worse than that.
Don't finish.
I fixed everything, and then Chaz got all the credit. He's going to get promoted to captain.
Well, that's what a captain does, right? Just take credit for the actions of subordinates. So,
and delegate tasks, which you are unusually good at.
Okay, so Macbeth, I want you to go and operate the transporter in order to beam the materials to the cargo bay. And Bob, you do you. You just keep doing what you're doing. You're doing great. Okay, great. See, task delegated. I'll make a great captain. Yeah.
Anyway, with his funniness on the side, Bob, which way do we want to go? Do we want to try and get the suits, or do we want to go for speed?
No, I think we should go for the suits. But if I may be so bold, I actually know the trio that's currently situated on the cargo transporter pad. So I can get them to move very quickly.
Can I also just point out that's an incredibly poor decision on allocating space within the cargo bay to put people on the transporter pad? I feel we should have a long discussion with whomever is in charge of this allocation of space. And by we, I do mean Chaz.
I like it. So it's not just Chaz delegating to us, we're delegating to Chaz. Yes. I'm learning so much.
Well, technically, we're all the same rank.
Yep. Delegate to each other.
For now. We're all the same rank for now.
So
I know you've been looking for that promotion, but you know, just hold your horses there.
Well, far be it from me to say anything against your plans, Captain.
I mean, what's going to happen? Macbeth becomes chief doctor and I become chief engineer. I mean, you're the only one past the captain. So even if we get ahead, you're going to take over in the end.
Well, by that logic, Bob will be our chief science officer or medical consultant or something. Not medical, though. I guess I already have a doctor. So, sorry. Just chief
scientist. You had it right fine. The first time.
Yeah, yeah. See, I would be a terrible captain because I can't even remember people's departments.
I mean, does the captain remember our departments?
I feel like that is what you have a senior staff for.
I mean, that is the job of the first officer, really.
You seem to know all the roles so well. I feel like at this point we've gone across the cargo bay.
Yeah, you've traversed across the cargo bay over to the cargo transporter. And actually sitting on the transporter pad, not like laying across or anything, just kind of like sitting on the edge of it so their legs are dangling over the side, is a trio of Andorians. And Shaz, you would know these Andorians because these are, to put it bluntly, this is what Commander, these three are the ones that Commander Moore compares you to whenever you slack off. Like, oh yeah, look at Ensign Varane, you know, she does a great job and she doesn't complain about it being too hot or too cold, you know, that sort of thing. But let's actually give these this trio a name real quick because I think that'll be a little bit more fun. Let me find my list of names here. So Varane is one of them. So Varane. And then we have, let's go with Shrak, S-H-R-A-Q. All right, Shrak. And then let's do one more, this time a male. Let's go with Chish, C-H-I-S-H. And yeah, so Bob sort of actually looks between these three Andorians and looks at Chaz and goes, maybe Chaz should say hello and get them to move? Or
no, you don't want me talking with them. I mean, they're, you know how I'm really friendly and open and I've got this wonderful disposition. They're just pure Andorian arrogance, kind of like Vulcan arrogance, but with emotions.
Well, doesn't that mean that you as... And this might seem a stereotype, and if it does, I apologize. Doesn't that mean we should meet arrogance with arrogance?
I mean, that can work, or it can be like fighting fire with fire, so everything is just consumed in fire.
Well, I mean, if fire would give lights to the cargo bay at the moment, so, you know.
You're literalizing my metaphor. This is not like a Starship Voyager meeting room sort of thing.
Oh. Okay.
You better be convoy it up. Voying it up too much is against regulations. They added it after they came back to Earth.
If any of us turn into lizards by the end of this adventure, I'll be very, very upset.
They are the next phase of evolution, so I'm told.
Human evolution.
Evolution, in quotation marks.
Yes, I also have several very, very strong words to say against their doctor's assessment of what evolution is. But that is for another time.
I mean, I'm pretty sure that the EMH did have, due to overuse of his base programming, may have misused some words throughout the time. Because, you know, it was more of a mutation rather than an evolution.
Look, losing opposable thumbs is clearly a good thing. What can I tell you? Anyways...
You're going to go talk to them, I shall.
Yeah, fine. And he trundles off to meet with them. Plasters on a rather broad smile, waves.
Hey, and this, we'll say Shrak's the one speaking. Shrak is a bit beefy, kind of built like a linebacker. Is in regulation red, just like you are, Shaz. He goes, "Hey, look, it's the slacker, Shaz. What are you doing? What brings you over here?"
Well, orders bring me over here because, believe me, there's no other reason why I would want to speak with you.
Yeah, that's funny. Yeah, like we're gonna get orders in the middle of a neutronic storm.
I have comm records if you want to review them.
He thinks about it and goes, "Well, all right. Let's say I believe you. What do you want? You want us to get rid of our..." Our uniforms like last time? You want us to go streaking? Is this another prank?
Okay.
I mean, you were really into that. Like, we didn't even have to persuade you. There was a whole plan to persuade you, and you just were I'm for it.
I do not like this we. This was a you. This was not a we.
Admittedly, under duress, I did have to assist in that. And we don't speak about why, do we,
Marcus? No.
Okay, right. Yeah, no, I don't need you to strip. Thank you. I would very much prefer that you didn't. But I do need you to like move about 5 meters in that direction.
Roll me a presence command, difficulty of one.
And I would like to assist. You can borrow our area until we come back. We might be gone for a while.
All right, you may assist with your own presence command. But I am going to make the complication range an 18 to 20 because it's funny.
Oh, great. Etiquette?
Yeah, etiquette would actually work here.
All right. Roll. Hey!
Right. Starfleet protocol?
Starfleet protocol would also apply here. All right, there we go. There's the 20 we wanted. So you get 3 successes, which means you do get 2 momentum, bringing you up to 5, but there is a complication. Okay, I think I have a good complication. So what happens is the trio, I'm just going to call them the big bad trio because now it's in my mind. They're like the big bad or the big jerks or whatever. The trio does kind of give a like a hoomph and they start moving. But the complication is going to be that you hear the creaking of metal and the creaking of pipes and EPS conduits shattering as you all look up at the ceiling and water begins to pour from the above deck onto the transporter pad.
I wasn't listening to the bulkheads.
Isn't this what happened the last time we had you using a transporter there, Marques? The whole water pouring into the room thing?
I told you we did not want them near the transporter.
Are you certain that you don't have some sort of weird power?
Look, I am fully regulated. This is while I'm fixing the issue enough so we could use the transporter. I am fully regulated to use any type of transporter on this ship and multiple other ships. I have my certifications.
Yes, but should you?
I am perfectly trained to do so. I am the most qualified.
Bob actually raises a hand. Actually, it's not Bolin's fault. The same pressure conduit that knocked out the light is now leaking into the Jeffrey's tubes above us. So something's really going on in Cetacean Bay 1.
Question on the meta level, how quickly is the water flooding into this cargo bay?
Oh, I mean, it's nothing tremendous. It's like a pleasant rain more than anything else. It's not like a jet of water that's spraying down like a sprinkler.
Okay.
It's like if a slow flooding was happening above it and mm-hmm. just like drips of water were coming in. Yeah, okay. Can I get the transporter fixed up enough that we can transport the EVA suits so we can get going?
Yeah, easily enough. And I don't think I'm going to have you roll because you got 5 momentum and we don't need a complication here. So I'm just going to say you materialize the EV suits. We have, of course, the montage sequence of you all getting in said EV suits. But my next question is, are you going to beam yourselves to Cetacean 1, or are you going to travel there on foot?
No, I am not transporting a transporter while it's being rained on.
Look, how much time are we going to save if we use the transporter? The more time we save there, the more we impress the bosses for Bob's sake, and the quicker we can get back to, you know, playing Blood Rage on my pad.
Why did you have to say, for Bob's sake, fine, I'll get to working on the transporters.
Because captains are good at manipulating people. And although I don't want to be a captain, I am learning things. For no particular reason.
Why?
Bob is like noting all this fiercely down on his data pad, like I'm learning so much.
And I just love this visual, so I'm going to, Macbeth is going to sort of be like, no. And he's just going to pick Marquise up by the back of the neck and just put him onto the pad. I will handle the transporter.
You literally, this is my job when I'm not hanging around you guys.
No.
Backup transporter chief.
Your job is to fix things.
Engineering Corps deals with transporters on a daily basis.
Yes, because they are also the ones that break them.
That's because we use them 90% of the time because they are a delicate bit of engineering. Do you want your atom spliced? We don't want a Tuvix.
I think the implication is if he's going to be using transporter, he's not the one in, you know, in peril of having his atom spliced with another person.
I am going with you.
Yes, I know that, but I don't think he is, since he's using the transporter to transport us.
You can put there's that like a delay, which you can then get onto the transporter and then use your comm badge to activate.
Or we can ask it. This is why she should be.
Very, very well. I propose the following.
Mm-hmm. You know the drill. PM me what you're throwing. I love that this is a thing, by the way.
I have to fight because, like, my one job, I have transporters and replicators as a focus. I have two talents which will help me. And you're like, no, I'm going to doctor this up.
Okay, so this is interesting. Each one of you throws a different thing. We see rock, we see paper, we see scissors. So there's no clear winner.
I think then Shass, just with his hand outstretched like that, turns over and looks at Bob.
And Macbeth also just turns and looks at Bob.
I look at Bob.
I guess I'll do the transport delay then.
That would seem to be what we have all decided, yes.
Okay. If you all will get on the pad then, I'll just sort of key in the sequence here. And delay of about 5 seconds so I can get on the pad. Okay. Everybody ready?
I'm ready. I believe in you, Bob.
I am prepared, if not ready.
Okay. You likewise.
He pushes the button, then scrambles up onto the pad. You all dematerialize, and then you rematerialize in Cetacean 1. Now, Cetacean 1, I like to imagine, is kind of similar to what you would find in an aquarium, where it's just one big, big tank. Like, we're talking could fit, like, a killer whale, or an orca, or basically any large cetacean being. But what you notice is two things immediately. The first is that part of the deck plating has ruptured and bubbles are coming up as water drains. So that's problem one.
Oh, can the bubbles be coming out of a, for want of a better word, a cargo container where the lid is just opening occasionally to let bubbles out?
Yes. In fact, that's exactly what's happening. Yes. I love it. The second thing you notice is that the cetaceans in here, mostly dolphins, there is one whale, but there's mostly dolphins in here. The dolphins have kind of surrounded one of their own. And Macbeth, without any role required, your tricorder is telling you that in classic Star Trek fashion, whenever you're in a storm, apparently it's time to have a baby.
Oh, no.
Interesting. It would appear that one of the cetaceans is in labor.
Okay, right. So we need to divide up the tasks. I presume you two go deal with that, and us people which know maintenance is going to deal with the hole in the floor.
I wasn't even aware one of them was pregnant.
But then again, this is how many crew members are on this ship?
This is true.
I mean, it's not like they have to discuss their reproductive habits with anyone else on the ship, right?
Well, no, but medical records should indicate whether or not someone is impaired in the line of duty. And
but don't they have like separate medical records for these stations? So there's like a dedicated medical set of personnel to deal with them?
They're taking off the duty rota when it gets to a certain point. So that wouldn't mark up on the duty rota. Anyway, hi! I then try to use the translator. Do you guys need some help?
Who are you talking to, the dolphins or the whale?
Yes, just in the room.
Okay. So, the noise that comes back is a whale noise. It's not translated, it's just a whale noise.
Sorry, what type of whale?
Oh, blue whale.
In my head I had like humpback blue whale or something like that, which is huge. So, okay, that's fine.
No, this is a very big room. Like, this is probably where they would sleep normally.
My translator is maybe not working. Because I recognize the whale as member of the crew, right?
Yeah.
So they, as far as I'm aware, are able to speak because of translators and stuff.
Correct. And in fact, if you'd like to give me an insight engineering to see what's going on here, difficulty of 3, since you're currently underwater.
All right. So I don't think this is know my ship situation, because it's to do with my personal trans later. Can I blog test a theory? Because I've been messing around with a lot of stuff when it comes to this underwater neutrino field.
Technically, you have done scientific or technological field earlier in the same mission. I'll give it to you. You may roll an additional d20.
All right.
Do I spend 2 momentum to roll a 4th?
Yeah, let's go with that. And I don't think my engineer... Oh, space, subspace communications.
Would technically apply here.
Excellent. And boop. Hey!
There's your 3 exactly. You needed. So the problem is that something in the neutronic storm is causing the shielding of the bay to fluctuate. You're not in any danger of taking radiation or anything, but currently while within the bay, your tricorders and your comm badges will not translate anything that has been brought in. So to make that a little bit more clear, you can communicate amongst yourselves, because even in Federation Common, you know, sometimes Macbeth is actually speaking Klingon rather than Federation Common kind of a thing. Mm. And Shaz is speaking Andorian, et cetera, et cetera. So you all can communicate amongst yourselves, but that's because you were brought into the bay, if that makes any sense.
Yeah. Okay, well, seems like communications are buggered. I think we should try to fix the hole in the floor. That's the most pressing issue. And then work from there.
I think the most pressing issue are those contractions. But, you know, I'm not a nurse.
Damn it, Shaz. I'm an engineer, not a doctor.
I am also not a doctor. However, I will assist with the labor. And right. Shaz, I could do with an extra pair of hands.
I don't know what, this is just completely out of character, I don't know what species would want a swimming Klingon heading towards them while in labor.
I don't know what species would want a Klingon full stop while you're in labor, but that, this is the situation we've been put into.
Just like so. Out of the depths of this dark, just Klingon swimming towards you. It is honorable for me to help the pregnancy.
I've just got images of Brian Blessed just biting through umbilical cords. It's the same sort of thing going on.
Oh. Oh, boy. That's beautiful. I mean, are you sure you don't want the xenobotanists assisting you? I think that's closer than an engineer and a pilot.
I was of the thought that he would be assisting Marquis.
Okay, fine.
There's right. Nothing to be afraid of in this. This is simple from a medical point of view.
Yeah, like babies are one of the most terrifying things in the entire quadrant.
No. Raising babies is one of the most terrifying things in the quadrant. Delivering them is relatively simple.
Have you ever delivered a baby before?
Guiding things through a tight space is what a pilot does as I swim over to the hole and escape from this conversation.
Oh, my Lord. I put myself in this situation. I thought, you know, what would be fun? Well, let's steal some tropes from TNG, because why not?
Hey, look, you're not wrong. It's just you should have known better.
I should have known better. That's okay. All right. Let's deal with Bolin and Bob repairing the bubble chest, as we're going to call it. So as you float on over or swim on over, Bob looks down at the bubble chest and goes, well, okay. I'm not sure if this is correct, Bolin, but I think this is actually a natural feature of the tank. It's meant to oxygenate the water. It just seems to be leaking into the EPS conduits below.
I passed him a different tool.
Thank you. And Bob starts getting to work, and he's actually very efficient at it. He is actually a little bit alarmingly efficient. Like, it would take you maybe about 5-10 minutes to fix this bowl in. He does it in 2, and he's not really sweating or moving very fast. He just does it in a few moments, where it would have taken you a little bit longer.
I
mistakenly knock my helmet and record this. For, you know, for like some sort of senior officer to pick it up later when they look over the logs and stuff and see Bob's very efficient engineering skills. By mistake, I'm not doing this on purpose. This is me just bumping, you know, my head or something.
Okay. All right. I love it. I love where you're at. But yeah, Bob finishes up and goes, all right, that should stop it leaking down to the decks. I mean, we're still going to have to drain that water, but I mean, the leak should be fixed now.
Okay, so we need to find what caused this and ensure it doesn't happen again. Now, Arkham's razor suggests that it's something to do with the neutrino field. So maybe we need to redirect the neutrino pulse to somewhere which doesn't involve the ventilation system of an entire crustacean bay.
We could always vent it to the shuttle bay.
I'm just going to double check there's nothing in the shuttle bay. I know it's not shielded, but just a peace of mind. Like, I'm going to spend a momentum that we're not going to cause a problem by venting this to the shuttle bay.
So there's good news and bad news. The good news is that there is nothing of value in there other than the shuttlecraft. But the bad news is that if you do flood the shuttle bay with extra neutrinos, let's just say Shaz's personal project might need a little bit more fixing by the end of the day.
I'll count as a prank and just let it to be. I'm going to be fixing it anyway, so.
Fair enough. All right. Well, as you're shunting the neutrinos, let's go over to the other team. Now, of course, I'm not going to go into graphic detail, but Shaz and Macbeth, how are you approaching the situation? Because remember, your universal translators are not working on the cetaceans.
Yeah. I mean, I think that obviously as we approach, it's going to have to be a very atypical response from a Klingon in trying to show meaning no harm and pointing at the blue on the uniform mm-hmm. in the hope that that would give them the idea of what's happening here. And I'd have a medical tricorder and the little scanner thingy in the other hand.
You pointed the blue with the like little detachable thing with the medical tricorder.
Love it.
That's it.
Go ahead and give me a presence medicine difficulty of 2.
I did try to reduce the momentum by 1 because I did spend 1. It's stuck on 3. I don't know if it's not.
Nope, there it goes.
Gotcha.
Cool. Thank you.
Okay, so that's 2 momentum we've got to play with then, yeah?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. See, if this is just communicating with them, I don't think any of my focuses are necessarily going to come into play unless you'll give me emergency medicine at this point.
But... you know what? This is technically an emergency. I'll give it to you.
Okay, perfect.
Could I assist by essentially engaging in pantomime of like assisting with a birth?
Water charades, I love it. You may do your own presence and command on your part. Or presence medicine, your call which.
Sure, I think presence medicine is more funny. It's more amusing to me, so.
And kind of, you're changing out one of your focuses for water charades, aren't you?
That sounds like a good idea.
And sorry, what's the difficulty we've got to do?
Just 2. So actually, if as long as you roll at least 1 success, you pass.
Oh, you said it. Okay, let's see what happens.
Hey, there you go. You got a grand total of 3, which means you get a momentum back for your trouble. So the cetaceans do see you coming. They do part for you to allow you to get to the patient. And again, not going into any detail here, but birth is imminent, is what I would tell you. And the only thing I'm going to require for you to successfully deliver the child is a control and a medicine at a difficulty of 2.
Okay. Well, Macbeth is going to move up to the expectant mother and Jess, I need you at the tail end, and I need you to hold the tail in place while I assist with assisting
delivery. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Great.
Thank you. That is the term. Yes.
This seems like a very bad idea.
This is fine. I've done this theoretically dozens of times.
Do you mean theoretically or in simulation? Because theoretically, it's like you've gone over it, the academic details of it, and this seems like an important distinction to make.
This is not the time for semantics.
You should
be prepared for the tail to start thrashing at some point.
Badly thrashing? Or, I mean, how prepared should I be? Because I can't exactly brace my feet here.
Indeed.
Let's say how... I'm going to spend 3 threat to make the complication range of 17 to 20.
Okay, he magnetizes his boots and clicks them onto the ground.
There we go.
Yeah, okay, good. Yeah, I'm fine here. Let's do this.
And, Macbeth is going to sort of just put a hand on the sort of head of the... This is like a dolphin or something, right?
Yeah, it's like a dolphin.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. So just put a hand on the head and go, don't worry, we will... And this is all obviously not going through at all, but he's hoping that the calming nature of the voice, like, don't worry, we will get this child out of you. It will be alive.
Just to be clear, you're never going to forget this session, either watching or playing. You're never going to forget the time during the middle of a neutrino storm that you delivered a dolphin. I did this to myself. I'm not regretting anything, but I should have known better.
I mean, so this is a great captain story, right?
It is. This is a fishy story.
Dolphins are mammals, actually.
I mean, we're all mammals here. I don't know what you're talking about.
Well, there's no such thing as a fish, so. complication range was free.
Seventeen to 20,
which is free on boundary.
4 if you're putting it in the roller.
Yeah. Okay. Cool. I am going to use. I think emergency medicine would definitely apply in this case. Or failing that, xenobiology.
Both could apply.
Yep. And what was the difficulty? Sorry.
2.
2. I am going to spend a momentum to give myself an extra dice, if that's all right.
Yep.
With the group.
So, assisting with control medicine?
Yep.
Or?
Actually, sorry. What am I rolling? Control medicine, right?
Yep, control medicine.
Good. Okay, here it comes.
Okay, well, I have good news and I have bad news.
The good news is
that you do get 4 successes, so you do get 2 momentum right back, but there is a complication, and it's a complication on Chaz's end. So, Chaz, since you're the one gripping the tail with magnetic boots on, what's going to happen is it's kind of one of those, I'm trying to remember the name of it, but you know that that sort of pole, I forget what, it's like a spring that has like a balloon on top and you punch the balloon and it does the wobble thing. I don't remember what that's called, but that's kind of you in this situation where the dolphin or the cetacean is thrashing about as Macbeth does his thing. And as a result of this, you are a little bit dizzy, a little bit winded. But since you did succeed, after a few moments, you kind of hear the sigh of relief from the mother, and there's a little baby dolphin that now is swimming around.
And Macbeth just, ha!
I
knew we could do that. Well done.
Oh, God. I think I have another concussion. I'm also slurring my words.
It's a perfect time to say that your shuttle's covered in neutrinos.
Oh, and Chad just redeemed a complication. And the complication is twins.
Twins. Hey, there's enough for both of you to be have one named after.
Oh, joy. That's a dream come true.
Now, does this mean that I have to go through this again, and we have to possibly have Shast shaken like a dog with a stick? Or
yes, yep,
yep. One moment, Shast. I believe you should keep a firm hold on that tail.
Am I still holding it?
You are, and you should hold on for a moment longer. And is going. Yeah.
We're
going to go in with the same role as before, but...
The only thing I'm going to do is I am going to spend the remaining 3 threat. The difficulty is now a 4.
Thank you. I am going to spend another momentum then.
You could always use the determination. There's many paths to honor.
Let's have a look here.
Truly, this is an honorable birth.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. Measure once, cut twice kind of makes sense. I will protect my cord.
I'm sorry, that's just too perfect though, because two umbilical cords. It's just,
All right, we'll go with that then in that case. Okay, focus, determination, spend momentum for an extra roll. Complication range is 4, and here we go. No!
Well, I have good news and bad news. The good news is that you rolled 5 successes, so you get a momentum back. The problem is that there's 2 complications. So
not to do with childbirth, please, no complications with childbirth.
So here's what happens. The other baby comes out fine, no issue there, but Shaz, you definitely have a concussion now. Like, you are really just out of sorts. Your vision is swimming. You're having trouble focusing, your words are slurring a little bit. Macbeth, same to you, where you are thrown about in the thrashing, and you're not as concussed as Thane is, but you're definitely getting there.
Are you both okay over there? I don't know why I'm calling over, because it's all over comms.
Yes, I am unsure why you're shouting. We are, I believe the term is bruised but alive. We are fine. Except perhaps Shas, who does not look. He's looking more green than blue at this point.
What, you batter? You're making cookies?
Would you say is a medical emergency?
I don't like the way you're saying that, but it could well be. And I think Macbeth is going to try and do a medical scan on Shas.
Okay. No roll required. Yeah, Shas has a concussion.
I think I'm going to vomit inside the helmet.
As do you, actually, Macbeth. It's just that you're Klingon and you handle concussions a little bit different.
Yeah, quick, exactly. Bob, we need to take them to the med bay.
Okay. I guess I can use the transporter pad over there. And should I beam us straight to sick bay?
Why is the transporter pad shaped like a castle?
I think I sprained an antenna.
I think transporter may be a... Yeah, we may need to transport them. How about, have you received any medical training? Because I've received 0 medical training.
I mean, I took medicine 302 at the academy. I got decent marks there.
Okay, so we're going to put them on stretchers. So on the other side, that they won't just be on the ground, because, you know, they're currently floating in water. And I'll transport you over to medical, and you can explain the situation to them when you get to the other side.
Well, how are we going to get them to sick bay?
I'm going to transport them to sick bay with you, because you're the attendant nurse at the time.
Okay.
Because you're the only one with medical experience, because trust me, I have no medical experience.
Okay.
Then you can explain to the doctor what's going on while also helping them out the EVA suits.
Okay. Okay. I think I can do this.
All right. I believe in you, Bob.
Well, I'm glad somebody does. All right. Well, very important role, Bolin, since this is actually sort of a time-sensitive transport here. Mm-hmm. This is going to be a control engineering. The Baja will assist you with a sensors engineering. Unfortunately, you're in the middle of a neutrino storm, so the difficulty is going to be a grand total of 4 in this instance.
All right. Can I use test of theory and I know my ship?
I can give you testing a theory. I can't give you I know my ship, because there isn't a problem with the ship. It's that you're just literally the conditions are what they are.
And that means I can't block maintenance specialist. Oh, well. All right. So I got 3 dice. I'm going to spend those last 2 dice to get 4 dice. And me clicking the momentum is not working. So if somebody could do that for me.
I'll take care of it.
I have transporters and replicators. So, you know. And I need 4.
You need 4.
I'm going to spend my determination.
Okay.
I'm just trying to figure out which value to use.
Fix it quickly, but thoroughly, maybe?
But thoroughly, yeah. And then give you a threat so I can roll 5 dice.
Okay.
I think I do it like this. Yes.
All right. Well, excellent. That is a grand total of 6 successes, meaning you get 2 momentum back for your troubles. And as far as everybody else is concerned, Thane and Macbeth, you all are out of it, but you do vaguely recognize you're in sick bay. And there's a conversation between Bob and the CMO. And after maybe about 5-10 minutes, you all feel the EV suits come off of you, at least for Thane and Macbeth. And you feel a hypospray going into your neck. And then your vision stops wavering, your head stops pounding, and you're able to see more clearly, and you kind of come around to see that Commander Red and Ensign Bob are kind of leaning over you, and Bob kind of goes, hey, I did it. I think we did it, Doc.
Well, there are no longer four of you, so that is encouraging.
And I see, well, I'll end the sentence there. I see, which is, you know, everything was just a blur beforehand. So yes, I think you've done it. Great, great, great work, kid.
Thank you. Should I check on Balloon?
That is probably wise who knows what they're getting up to at this point.
Yeah, just imagine that Balloon is just swimming around the tank at this point, you know. Just,
yep. Until the station's kicking me out.
Doctor, I need to report two additional members of crew.
It
appears one of the cetaceans has, I'm unfortunately do not know which, but has given birth to twins.
Which bay are they in? I'll go attend immediately.
Cargo Bay or Cetacean Bay 1.
All right. I will do that. I will go immediately. And
Berlin and Bob fix the comms issue in there, the translation issue, or
Bob speaks up and goes, actually I'm gonna send you in with a few extra comm badges that you can pin on the cetaceans so that it'll work.
Very forward thinking, Bob.
Doc, I'll transport you. And the doctor transports into Cetacean Bay 1. So we're going to skip ahead maybe about an hour at this point. You've returned to Cargo Bay 3. You're feeling much, much better. You're feeling right as rain. At this point, word of Bob's tremendous day out has started to circulate throughout the crew. And people are coming over to your little area of Cargo Bay 3 to ask Bob, like, oh, what inspired you to do this? Or, hey, good job, kid. That kind of a thing. And Bob seems really happy. You know, Bob, you know, he's glad to have the attention, but you do notice every once in a while he does try to include the three of you, like, hey, this wasn't just my idea. This was Bolin's idea, or this was Macbeth's idea, or this was Shaz's idea. But of course, nobody's listening to him because it's Lower Decks and nobody listens when they try to give credit.
And I tried to take none of the credit.
Oh, there's the bulkhead again.
Oh gosh. Not that one.
Just why not that one? What's so wrong with that one?
I still don't understand why the holodecks are running, Joe, while we were in the storm.
Well, they're on an independent power system, so it wouldn't matter whether we deactivate them or not, right?
I mean, it matters so much as surely no one is using them at this time.
Isn't this exactly the time you'd want to be on the holodeck?
All the stress? I do not buy into that theory.
Well, talk to Lieutenant Lenny down on Deck 6. He has a conspiracy theory for everything. He'll have an explanation for you.
I try to avoid talking to Ensign Lenny. He believes first contact was an inside job.
I mean, that's obvious. It was all manufactured, right? It's a temporal causality paradox. Lenny's talked all about this, right? That they went back in time and actually founded the Federation and then came back to our time. It's all there.
And this is why I don't like you talking to him either.
It really makes a lot of sense. If you just, you know, if you take a look at that wall that he's got with all those red strings, perfect logic.
He's also Vulcan-like. With that, what is the name of that group? It's some sort of anonymous group that centers itself around Q. I don't understand it.
Oh my God.
Oh God. Do they start?
Okay, good night, everybody.
Do they start randomly following me because I have a Q card?
Oh my god.
Anyway, I'm running to make sure that the Torpedo Launcher 3 doesn't explode because that bulkhead leads to its ammunition bay.
I honestly feel that it's something you should call into the senior.
Nope, already fixing it.
Of course.
Well, as
my bulkheads, not the senior staff bulkheads. I fixed them.
Yeah, you're good. As you finish the repairs, though, there's another rock of the ship, and the lights come back on to their full illumination. And the captain gets back on the comms and goes, "Attention all hands, we've passed through the neutronic storm. Please report to your duty stations and prepare for any maintenance or repair work." Captain out.
Well, that would seem to occupy Berlin for the short term, at least. Shass, why don't we go and get our bunks back into something resembling a semblance of order?
I mean, this is a real jip, though, don't you think? We were supposed to have the day off. Day off in a cargo bay, nothing to do, and it turns out we were actually working through this entire shift.
I'm surprised that you're surprised. Will you fix that bulkhead?
I am!
Okay, let's go.
I'm sorry I'm stopping explosive decompression. I'm busy.
You'll have to excuse me. Being concussed makes me irrationally angry, it would seem.
I would think that that'd be like par for the course for a Klingon warrior.
I thought that was a side effect of having to deal with pregnancy.
You understand that I helped give... I helped deliver... I am not rising to your jokes, Berlin.
I yell that loud enough for the rest of the cargo hall to hear me.
The rest of the cargo bay begins whispering conspiratorially.
The pranks already begin.
I will destroy him.
I mean, that's fair.
There is no suffering within the nine Klingon hells that will...
I'm going to the great entity. I'm not going to Klingon hells.
Oh, not if I have my way.
Well, if you're taking me out, it's an honorable death, so I'm going to Stovacore.
Depends on how he kills you, actually, I think.
I will kill him in the most dishonorable way possible.
Exactly.
Love it. All right. Well, our little final scene then for the day is Macbeth, you do return to your bunk, and you do see that there has been extra power packs added to the little phaser powering the force field, and your bonsai tree is fine. It is in perfect condition.
For now.
He's just going to nod appreciatively and just close the drawer again.
All right. And as you sort of look out the rear window, that kind of I imagine that your part of the hallway is you have a shot across the back of the ship. You sort of look out the back of the ship and you see that neutronic storm, that purple nebula traveling at fashion light velocity is sort of receding into the distance as the Baja itself continues onward in its journey. That's where we'll end today's little session. And oh boy, was it a doozy. Oh Lord.
I don't think you need to ask us if we enjoyed that. I think it's quite evident that we did.
And starts the tale of Ensign Bob.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I was wondering if I could get you to do the Worf line of "you may now give birth" or "you may now give birth" or something along those lines. We got close enough. My yeah.
I was working up to it and then it just didn't happen, so yeah, that's on me.
No, you're good. Again, you know, this is one of those, I wanted to do a bottle episode, and I'm like, all right, bottle episodes, Trek. All right, they did, the ship was knocked out of comms for a little bit. We have to steal from it. But yeah. All right, well, the only other thing I'll say before I kick it off here for YouTube is that next week, or whenever we meet next, yay scheduling and health issues, whenever we meet next, that will be the end of season one of Baja, so do look forward to a season finale. We're going to do some chatting as a group, whether it's the series or season finale. Very key distinction there. But we'll talk more about that next session at the beginning. But for now, Twitch, stick around because we're going to raid somebody. But YouTube, we'll see you later. Bye, YouTube.
Bye-bye.